I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today, Mara Gordon, founder and chief process engineer, specializes in the development of cannabis extract treatment protocols for seriously ill patients in California. She is the co-founder of Aunt Zelda's Kella Spring Wellness and Zelda's Therapeutics. Prior to Aunt Zelda's, Mara worked as a process engineer, helping Fortune 500 companies create intelligent software by utilizing the Rational Unified Process. This experience has enabled her to take a detailed and scientific approach to medical cannabis. Recognizing a need for patient-focused software, Gordon created CDR Med, an EMR specially developed for the healthcare community. With CDR Med, physicians and medical health personnel are able to make treatment recommendations based on the latest and highest quality data. This takes the guesswork of selecting the correct medicines at the dispensary. Gordon sits on the board of Zelda Therapeutics, DEA Foundation, and International Cannabis Standards Board. She has presented at multiple CME-accredited medical conferences, including Patients Out of Time 2014 and at POT 2016, and delivered a three-and-a-half-hour course along with Dr. Christina Sanchez, Manuel Gutzman, and Joe D. Goldrich. Goodrich has spoken at medical cannabis conferences in Australia, Costa Rica, Chile, Colombia, the Czech Republic, Israel, as well as numerous events throughout the United States. These include cannabis held at Harvard Medical School in April 2016 and Medical Marijuana for Professionals 2014 and 2016. Her work is featured in the upcoming documentaries Weed the People, Mary Jane, Women of Weed, and Joe Dosh's book, Brave New Weed. More information is available at www.medicaljane.com/directory/professional/Mara-Gordon. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Mara, and I look forward to hearing about cannabis and cancer. Now, first, Mara, can you tell us how you got into this area?
Yes. First of all, Carl, thank you very much for having me on. I'm very happy and grateful to be included in your wonderful broadcast. I first came into the field of cannabis when I was looking for a medicine for my husband and myself to use against very severe and chronic pain. My husband had broken his back and required surgery that was, you know, quite extensive. And he, at the time, had, I don't remember exactly, 22, I think, at the time, years of sobriety and was not willing to use opioids and said if that's all he had, what he had to do is his only choice, he would rather have the alternative, which, of course, was, in his case, it would have been eventual being in a wheelchair the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So we started researching the different options out there and started looking at cannabis and cannabis therapies and what could be done. And when we decided to try it, my initial response was I was actually a little bit angry. Mm-hmm. That the medical community had kept this a secret all mm-hmm. these years, that this was an option instead of opioids and mm-hmm. some of the other, you know, very caustic drugs. So once we had seen what it could do for us, we started helping other people. And in a very, very short time, we started having individuals with cancer come to us asking for help. Mm-hmm. Because cancer is a very personal situation for many people and myself as well, having lost my mother, sister, father, and first husband to it, you know, plus a myriad of friends and cousins, etc. I was very, very willing to do the research and do what was necessary to see if I could find an alternative or an integrative medicine to work in conjunction with standards of care.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, Mara, is cannabis an effective cancer treatment?
In many cases, cannabis is a very effective treatment. We understand, and you know, of course, there's over 200 different types of cancers, and I think it's very mm-hmm. important that we state that very clearly because they're all a little bit different. And as a result, you can't just say a one size fits all that if somebody used cannabis against, brain tumor, that it means it's going to automatically the same thing's going to work on a breast tumor. But cannabis as itself, because of what we understand about the way that the cannabinoids work with the endocannabinoid system within our body, we understand that it is or can be a very effective treatment. The other thing is it can also, in some cases, be a very, very powerful adjunct to other treatments so that a person is able to more successfully endure the other treatments or have and have more optimum outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'll give you a story about one of our patients. At the time, he was an 11-year-old boy. He had been diagnosed with a rare type of tumor called rhabdomyosarcoma. And each time he was going through one of his chemotherapy treatments, he would have to be hospitalized because he would become so, so deathly ill. In fact, the doctor admitted to me a couple years later that he really didn't think that Chico was going to make it through the treatment, mm-hmm. that he wouldn't be able to successfully make it through. He still was sick as a dog with it, but he went into full remission. And because he was on, you know, very large cannabinoid doses, he was able to not only finish his standard care, but he was able to finish it in the prescribed time. He didn't mm-hmm. miss a single treatment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking earlier about cannabis for pain, and we mm-hmm. talked specifically about pain in bone cancer because it's so severe. Mm-hmm. Can you talk mm-hmm. some about that for the listeners?
Absolutely. Now, so many cancers, unfortunately, have, you know, besides the fact that you have bone cancers themselves, but you also have a number of cancers that when they metastasize, mm-hmm. they metastasize mm-hmm. to the bones. Mm-hmm. For example, we have quite a number of prostate cancer patients in particular, where the first place it goes is the femur, the large bone in the leg, which can be excruciatingly painful and debilitating. And by using just a very, very small amount of THC and more of the CBD in many cases, we're able to work against the inflammation and give the person the relief that they need in order to get the relief from this pain. Now, CBD on its own isn't going to be as effective when you're treating any kind of a cancer-related pain. You do need to have some of the THC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's say, you know, we believe, based upon the research that we've done and the data that we've accumulated on all of our, you know, many, many patients over the years, we have found more of a correlation between the age of the patient and the dosage that they will use.
Mm-hmm.
So that an older patient will need a much smaller amount than, for example, a small child or even somebody in their 20s or 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And we can help them to determine what is a good therapeutic dose for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Now, how is cannabis correctly dosed?
By the milligrams of cannabinoid content. Now, one of the things that we run into quite frequently, and one of the, you know, I evangelize on this mm-hmm. around the world, is, you know, how do you accurately and consistently dose? In fact, that's the name of one of the, you know, talks that I give at medical conferences. And what we look at is, the very first thing you need to do is you need to understand how to actually understand and read a label.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people understand how to read a label and understand how to interpret it. And even more so, especially with in the cannabis space, because you don't have FDA guidelines. You don't have things that are standard where it's always exactly the same. Sometimes you have to be a little bit of a Sherlock Holmes to figure out what it is that they're trying to say is in their medicine. So the first thing you look at is if something is labeled and it tells you, you know, what the volume is in the bottle. For example, let's say you're looking at a tincture that says it's 15 milliliters. Well, you know, that's half an ounce, it's 15 mil. And let's say I was actually looking at one yesterday, so I'll just use it as an example. And it said that it had 420 milligrams of CBD in the bottle. Okay. So what does that mean? That means that in 15 milliliters, okay, you had 420 milligrams of the major cannabinoid, which meant that in each milliliter, you were going to have 28 milligrams of CBD. It didn't say that, though. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look. So now you have 28 milligrams in a milliliter. Well, how much is a milliliter? Well, 5 milliliters is a teaspoon. So if you do a dropper, most droppers are going to be somewhere between 25 and 30 drops would be a milliliter if you use one that isn't marked. Mm-hmm. And then you would know exactly what you're getting from that. You oftentimes, a lot of the medicines that are out there do not have up-to-date or accurate lab tests associated with them. And I would be cautious when reading these labels of something that's printed right on the label as being the content because of the differences in each time it's made. It's got slight variances. I would ask as a consumer and as a patient, I would ask to actually see the lab results that are actually associated with the medicine that is in that particular jar or bottle or syringe or whatever form you're using it in. Mm-hmm. But you should always start very, very small and increase very slowly until you achieve your objective, whatever that objective is. You know, mm-hmm. because the objective can only be determined by the individual. You know, if somebody comes to me and they have, you know, stage 4 cancer, you know, my mind starts clicking on what a therapeutic dose is to start killing the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But if I interview the patient and they tell me their objective is to get out of pain and remove at least the nausea and sleep better at night, and that's mm-hmm. all they want to do with cannabis, then we're going to treat it very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it's starting to think of things in terms of, you know, milligrams of cannabinoids. That's the magic bullet of understanding how to dose.
Then is CBD a substitute for THC?
Very good question. It depends. In most cases, it is not. We understand very, very clearly or at least we think we do. You know, as we talked about earlier, everything we know today. We might mm-hmm. find out tomorrow it's all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But based upon the science as it stands and, you know, today, we understand the mechanisms of action of how THC or tetrahydrocannabinol, how it actually works within the body and how it affects things. CBD has more complicated mechanisms of action, and it isn't quite as straightforward. There are, in fact, certain conditions where there's overlapping help from both of them, but there are many that are not one or the other. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the example as if you're treating inflammation. So let's say you have, you know, you have joint pain and you have joint pain, or let's say you have bone pain from cancer. Either way, you're going to be dealing with inflammation. The CBD is going to help you to relieve some of the actual inflammatory effect in your body, as would THC. But the CBD is likely not going to give you the mental break from the pain that is so necessary. You know, Dr. Raphael Mishulam, you know, talked about all of the gifts of cannabis. And one of the gifts that he talked about was the gift of forgetting. And anyone who's been a severe pain patient cancer-related pain in particular mm-hmm. can tell you that you just can't get a break from having your whole being be focused on the pain. And being able to have a break from that, you're not going to get that mental break from the CBD that you're going to get from the THC.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not necessarily mean that you have to feel like you're intoxicated. It just means that it has a different mechanism of action within the body. For
right.
example, some of these people like you have, in some of these illegal states or the states that I should say that have not mm-hmm. yet come into the light and allowing cannabis as an option. Some of these people are using, even though the DEA has ruled that it's just as illegal, just as Schedule 1 as THC, some people are under the impression that they can use like hemp-based CBD to actually treat their conditions. And the reality is, hemp-based THC, well, first of all, besides the fact that it's also illegal, does not have the same entourage effect. It does not have the same terpenes and other cannabinoids within it that make CBD so effective. So even people that are using it against like seizure disorders and things like that, they find that, you know, they might use a cannabis-based CBD and have very good results from it. But then when they switch to a hemp product that's just strictly CBD, they don't have the same result. And the difference is that the micro amount of THC that's in the medicine.
Mm-hmm. Now, I take a hemp for the protein content. And mm-hmm. I have read that it's one of the highest and only plant-based complete protein.
You're talking about hemp seeds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hemp seeds, a totally different story. Absolutely fantastic. Love them. Big proponent of them.
But they're completely different then. Have nothing to do
it's the hemp seed. What they're doing, unfortunately, is they're growing hemp in these areas, these giant, fields of hemp because it's an industrial product.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're taking the byproduct of it and processing out the CBD from it. Well, two things that are wrong with that. Are number one, it isn't going to give you the full entourage effect of a cannabis plant.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part of that is hemp is an accumulator plant. It is used to clean the soil. So, I don't really want my medicine coming out of plants that are being put out there to clean the heavy metals and toxins out of the soil to then be used to make my medicine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good.
And the hemp seeds, that's a different, they come from the same plant, but it's a different industry.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. They're not making, as far as I know, nobody's making CBD, from hemp, from the same plants that they're harvesting the
mm-hmm.
seeds.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it, that's from a more industrial.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. And then, Mara, how does a patient select a product that's right for them?
That is one of the more interesting challenges. And one of the things that we look at when we're working with the patient is, first of all, we want to know what is your objective. What
mm-hmm.
are you trying to treat?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to treat a migraine, you're probably not going to use a suppository.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to, it's like you have to right diagnosis, right product. Another thing is, how long do you need it to last? If I'm going to use something for sleep or recommend something for sleep, I'm going to want that person to have 6 to 8 hours of benefit from their medicine. So I won't give them a product that lasts for 2 hours, nor will I give them a product that's time release good for 12 hours, because
mm-hmm.
who has time for 12 hours of sleep?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know what your time is and how you pick your thing. And then also know your level of tolerance of ambiguity. So for ambiguity. So for example, some people like to use edibles. I'm personally not a big fan of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm not is because they are less consistent. They're dependent upon so many things like your state of mind, your hydration level, your fatigue, how much food is in your stomach, all that can change so that it acts very, very differently, same medicine, two different times you take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever your tolerance level for that ambiguity would make a difference on each of these and narrowing what your choices are.
Mm-hmm.
In the vast majority of cases, I recommend that people use a sublingual product. I'm not a big fan of tinctures because they're alcohol or glycerin.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather see people use an infusion using a high polyphenol olive oil, or in some cases MCT. Medium chain triglyceride,
mm-hmm.
but sublingual is going to give you the highest level of bioavailability and consistency of onset and how long it lasts that you're going to have with most other treatments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then can cannabis be used with traditional cancer treatment? For example, say someone is on chemo, but they have pain and they want to use cannabis for the pain.
Cannabis is used very, very effectively with other treatment modalities. For example, if somebody is using chemotherapy drug, Dr. Cristina Sanchez at a Complutense University in Spain has published studies. In fact, hers was the first study that I saw. I think she did it in 1998 or something,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't read it until 2012, where she showed TMZ, which is a common chemotherapy drug, and showing how it worked along with THC. Each, the THC and the TMZ both worked very well, but together they worked 50% better
mm-hmm.
as far as cell death. Now, one of the things that the THC, for example, will help with it causes this chemical cascade after it activates the cannabinoid receptors. And so what happens is that then ends up in something that's called apoptosis, which is a very clean way of cells dying. Mm-hmm. It's like a cell suicide, where versus necrosis, which most standard chemos, radiation, et cetera, are designed as a way of killing the cells. And so what it does is it also, at the same time that it's killing cancer cells, it's also protecting the healthy cells from being killed right along with it on the standard chemo regimen. So it's protecting your cells while it's also assisting with the killing of the cells. Now, there are certain types of chemotherapy drugs that are taken orally, where sometimes we have to stagger the timing of when we give one over the other because of the way that the drug is metabolized. We look very, very closely at pharmaceuticals and nutraceuticals and all in foods and everything and anything that is metabolized through the cytochrome P450 in the liver. You know, whether it's a substrate, prostrate, inducer, inhibitor, whatever, we look at those things because THC and even more so CBD interact with this mechanism and can change the way that a pharmaceutical acts within your body. So we look at the half-life of the drugs, we look at whatever, and the very, very few drugs have to be substituted for a different drug to be taken along with cannabinoid therapy. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of them that go through this P450, there may be a need to perhaps modify the dose, either increase or decrease. Mm-hmm. So many people, for example, who use opioids for pain relief, they'll find that just by taking the cannabinoid therapy, they're able to immediately drop their opioid intake in half just because of the metabolization through the liver. Mm-hmm. They feel far, far too, they say, oh God, that cannabis made me so stoned. Well, it didn't. What really happened was the opioid became much more intense than your usual dose. Mm-hmm. So you're able to either back off, you know, by half immediately, or in many cases, substitute it over time completely. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very effective for that. And then, you know, if nothing else, it can make your other drugs more intense or less intense, in which case you just have to know how to do that. And that's why we have our doctors that work with our patients to know and go through drug checkers and, you know, make sure there isn't any interaction.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. Are there times when cannabis is not a good option?
Yes, there are. There are times. For example, you know, some people are allergic to it, just like anything else. You can be allergic to anything. Mm-hmm. So obviously, because there are, you know, up to 100 different cannabinoids and, you know, depending on who you talk to, between 200 and 500 different terpenoids and flavonoids and whatnot within the cannabis plant, there's substances in there that, you know, some people just are allergic to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. Then, of course, there's also a very, very small segment of the population that has the risk of abuse. This happens to be a very small percentage. And if you look in, unfortunately, it's different receptors in the brain than those that are addicted to alcohol and opioids, so that there doesn't appear to be a crossover. But, you know, like anything else, you know, people can abuse anything. You know, people can abuse, you know, we all know, but obviously ones like sugar, flour, you know, cigarettes, things like that. You know, that's just based on the personality. But then you also have things like, I'm always very cautious when somebody has atrial fibrillation of which cannabinoids that I recommend for them versus others. Like I would, you know, I would often say if somebody has atrial fib, you're going to want to stay away from THC. And I'm going to just put you on something with a very small dose of that, mainly a CBD or, you know, one of the other, like CBG, one of the other major cannabinoids. There's also, you know, experimental gene therapies and, you know, stem cell things where we don't know enough yet to know if they would interfere with the trial. And so we say, you know, this may be your only shot, take it, and then we can always add the cannabis later. So that's, and then of course also anybody who's operating heavy machinery, because you can get a DUI if you get caught, you know, using something with a high THC while you're driving and if you take it to a part where you're impaired. I don't think any of the states have actually determined what the blood levels are on it yet for DUI, but I was driving down the 101 the other day and I did see where they had one of those signs up there that said, I can't remember, it was kind of a clever way they were saying it, but mm-hmm. basically they were letting people know that, you know, you can still get a DUI without drinking alcohol. So, you know, just something to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Mara, can you give us some mm-hmm. other case studies of people that you...
Yes, sure. So I'll give you a case, for example, a woman who we've been dealing with. She's got 17 years. And she has a fabulous website, and you might be interested in talking to her. Cheryl Broyles is her name, and she has 17 years, I believe, now being living with a glioblastoma multiforme, which in just about all cases, they call it the Terminator, is terminal. And it's kind of like when you hear your story about, you know, being it for 34 years. It's mm-hmm. the same kind of, or 38, it's like unbelievable that mm-hmm. she's been for so many years, you know? So the interesting thing with Cheryl, though, is I wanted her on a higher dose than she is on because I was looking at, okay, let's make sure we kill every cell, let's keep whatever. She said, I want to have an active lifestyle with my two boys and my husband, and they hike and they're very active. And so she uses a little bit of THC and a little bit of CBD every single day. Mm-hmm. And as a result, she's still going strong. Mm-hmm. In her case, she's actually finds that if she stops the cannabis therapy, she ends up having seizures, whether it's the CBD or the THC. Mm-hmm. And she's been able to effectively make it through several other treatments using, you know, laser knife therapy and things like that, mm-hmm. Or gamma knife, excuse me, using our medicine to be able to respond and recover far, far more quickly. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of breast cancer patients and prostate cancer patients who've been able to very effectively use cannabis therapies and not have to have it interfere too terribly much, you know. And I'm talking about using it therapeutically to kill the cancer, mm-hmm. not just for mm-hmm. managing the side effect. Because, you know, that's an option too. Mm-hmm. But the ones, because certain cancers we have on a higher CBD and lower THC, and so you have less of the intoxicating effect that some people complain about. And because of the types of cancers, each one has its own protocol and its own ratios of which cannabinoids we use to treat them. I would say that there are certain cancers that I am still waiting for our first success in, but they're very, very few. Almost everyone that we've treated has been able to either improve their quality of life, lengthen their time here, or are still going strong. We don't know how much longer they're going to be keeping it going, mm-hmm. or be able to make it through their treatments more effectively than they otherwise would have been able to in a more timely manner.
Mm-hmm. Mara, have you had anyone with pancreatic cancer?
Yes, I have. And we have had we've had a mixed set of results on it, mm-hmm. you know, just like anything else. Mm-hmm. We've had cancer patients that had pancreatic that I didn't think would be around still and still are. Mm-hmm. And I have pancreatic cancer patients who were made more comfortable until we lost them. And, you know, and we don't know enough yet to know why this one and not that one. Mm-hmm. But I haven't found a treatment yet where we can answer that question. Mm-hmm. You know, all medicine, whether they say so or not, is bespoke medicine. It's just the way it is.
Right.
Pancreatic is one of those that, you know, I am really looking forward to doing some work on. I am one of the founding directors of a company called Zelda Therapeutics. It's a publicly traded company out of Australia, out of Perth. And the purpose of this company is to run clinical trials. That's all it does. And we announced last month, I believe, a pancreatic cancer study that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Great.
We're doing one on HER2 positive breast tumors and one on pancreatic cancer that we're starting, that we're actually putting the formulas together now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yep. Good.
Oh, yeah. Very excited.
Then is there anything else you want to say, Mara, before we look at the products you have and the services? And one question will be, can these things be shipped out of state?
I wish. Yeah, well, the The one thing I just want to add is when you're picking your medicines, because unfortunately with the existing rulings and there and the fact that, you know, it doesn't look like anyone's going to make it legal at a federal level anytime soon, we are not allowed to ship over to out of state. One of the things that we're doing is we are setting up licensing agreements in other states where it's legal, where we can help to set up a production of our medicines under our intellectual property, our guidelines, our standards, our equipment, and basically replicate what we're doing in California in other states. So that's one of the way things we're doing. But it's very important that people need to understand that when they're picking a medicine, they're not all made alike. A lot of times people are having, you know, their medicines where a company, all they're spending their money on is marketing and packaging, because all the actual medicines being made in some giant, you know, CO2 processing plant and then white labeled all over the place. Well, that's not medicine. That's just, you know, Frankenstein, as far as I can tell. Okay. So that doesn't impress me. The other thing is you need to make sure what they're starting with. Are they starting with the quality flowers? Or are they using what's left over on the floor after they sold the flowers to be smoked at a dispensary? So, I mean, there's a lot of things about quality that are still, the consumer, unfortunately, has to be very involved and proactive in a way that they may not need to if they could go and, you know, get a nutraceutical that's been around and tested in such a way. We're starting to have some of those in, you know, California with its new regulations that have come out. We're very excited about, my group's very excited because we actually want regulation. And standardization so that people know what they're getting and they can read labels. But I think that, you know, I know that, you know, Florida is, you know, coming on board, and I think that they're having some issues right now. I think everybody's having issues. Colorado is really more about recreational. I like to say that Colorado is a little bit like the Las Vegas of the cannabis world. California, especially Northern California, we are really working to be very, very medical and research based here, which is, you know, one of the reasons I'm glad to be here. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm happy to, if you, you know, one of the services that we have is our medical practice, which is Calis Spring Wellness, and the website. I'll send you any links if you want to make them available.
Good.
Our medical professionals, our doctors are happy. You know, you don't have to be in California to use our doctors to help guide you. So somebody can make an appointment. We do our, you know, very in-depth intake. And then these are medical doctors that are trained to help you to understand not only the treatments that you're already being recommended to do, but how to incorporate cannabis and supplements and diet and, you know, all of the requirements in order to have a healthy life. And they can guide you to do that, to not have the interactions and the problems. And as long as we have lab results that are associated with the medicine, we can guide you on how to actually use it. So that's a very, very big plus on that. And then, of course, our products, Aunt Zelda's is my company also. That's where all of our products are. And Aunt Zelda's has the infused oils that are available in 10 milligrams of cannabinoid per milliliter, 50, you know, 50 milligram per milliliter. And then we have, for the very extreme cases, we have the extracts that are used, you know, that it can be up to, you know, as much as 800 milligram per milliliter. So, you know, that's obviously going to be somebody who's on a very, very high dose for dosing purposes. And then we have a topical product, and that's it. We have not gone, you know, we've created the products that we need to make, the medicines that are able to treat various diseases, and approaching it like, if we need to treat, you know, somebody comes to us with X, do we have something to help them? If we don't, we need to create something. If we do, then we can purpose it, because it's not one cancer, one drug, or one treatment. A lot of them can be multi-purpose that way.
I need to clarify then, the people that would get counseling from the medical professionals, are they just people who are in states where cannabis is legal?
We have people that come to us from all over the world. We had somebody from Siberia come to us. We have quite a few people that come to us from Scotland and all of Mexico and in Colombia. No, you do not have to be in a legal state.
Oh,
because, you know, we're agnostic as far as that's concerned. You know, if you get hold of cannabis, we believe that it's a basic human right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We aren't going to go to federal prison to help you to get it because mm-hmm. then we're not going to be able to help anybody else. And so mm-hmm. that doesn't make any sense. I had to make that decision. You know, I had to search my soul on that years ago and make the decision that if, you know, because I used to treat, we were best known for our treating pediatric cancers. Okay. That's where mm-hmm. we, you know, mm-hmm. kind of established a reputation at one point. And even though so many of our patients are, you know, elderly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, this sick little girl, how can I say no? And my husband's like, my husband said to me, he said, Mara, you go to prison. Who's going to help these other 600 people that mm-hmm. we're helping right mm-hmm. now? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of an aha moment. So, but on the other hand, if you want to come to California or you have somebody that'll help you, you know, to get your medicine, you know, from wherever you are, that is between you and your maker and not. Oh, to me to judge good, or determine
good,
at
good,
all.
Good.
Absolutely not. Any more than when I, you know, took my first husband to a Laetrile clinic in mm-hmm. 79, it wasn't legal.
Right.
You know?
And it still isn't.
Right. But you know what? You know, we have the right, you know, when we have a sick body, we have the right to treat it
mm-hmm.
if we're not hurting anybody else.
Right.
You know? And
right.
so, you know, it's propaganda that makes cannabis not be something that, you know, pharmacists and doctors, when the prohibition took a place against mm-hmm. cannabis, the reason that there was no uproar from doctors and pharmacists at the time was because they were using the word marijuana and doctors and pharmacists didn't understand they were talking about cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had understood, they would have fought against it. So, you know, it's just a matter of we needing to re-educate in these other states and countries.
Well, I also think that when it's right, when you need something and it's right for you, it's going mm-hmm. to appear. Like the Laetrile, when I had lung cancer.
Absolutely.
A person mm-hmm. in my Search for God group had all the information about it, and she worked me all through the process and to the doctor, you know, and I have found throughout life that this is the way things happen, that when I mm-hmm. need something, there's someone there. It's like when the student is ready, the teacher's there, you know.
100% agree with you, 100%.
Yeah. But this clarified yeah. for me, and I think it will clarify for the listeners, those that have been really listening.
Right.
So I appreciate it. Now,
absolutely, absolutely.
Do you have some websites that you can tell us again?
Yes, yes. So the first website that I would say to go to for our, to find out more about our medicines and what we do, plus the fact that there's quite a few links on there, I believe, to some of the talks that I've given, because I do speak quite extensively around the world on cannabis, and frequently it's on cancer, or mostly on cancer, is, it's AZ, as in Aunt Zelda's, canna oil, cannaoil.com. Now, because most people say, what did you say? I went ahead and I have auntzeldas.org on a redirect to the same site.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to get auntzeldas.com because that's a furniture store in Atlanta, apparently, that went out of business, that's holding on to the URL and won't sell it to me. But anyway, so it's auntzeldas.org is where you can find us. Now, our medical practice is Calla Spring Wellness. It's Calla Spring Wellness, wellness.com. And that's where you can book an appointment with one of our doctors or nurses and have them help you to guide you to integrate cannabis and other non-pharmaceutical type treatments into your care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
Right. And then, of course, if anybody's interested in learning more just about the clinical trials that we're doing, they can always go to ZeldaTherapeutics.com.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Right.
Well, I appreciate this so much. It's been very interesting to me, and I know will be to the listeners. And it's something that is in progress, and I hope it moves along a little faster than it's been. But with the current national situation, it may actually not move as quickly as you and I would like. So I thank you again very much, Mara.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, and congratulations on the excellent work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And I appreciate being included in it. Thank you.
Because we have some time left today, I would like to talk with you about my new Cancer Foundation and an opportunity that I think will be of interest to you. My new Cancer Foundation can be found at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. On the site, you will see first a video of the foundation. You will also see the goals, which are education, research, and patient care. I have an impressive board and advisory board for this foundation, and you can look at these on the site. I have worked for over a year getting content on the site, including interviews with cancer patients and doctors, cancer research, cancer treatment, and what is different on my site is research on mental, spiritual interventions and interviews with experts for interviews like affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others. These are included because I believe that disease results from multiple factors, and consequently, a holistic approach is necessary for recovering from cancer. To me, prayer, faith, optimism, and others are as important in treatment as medication, supplements, diet, and other interventions. I have experience to support this belief. Having used a holistic approach since 1970, when I volunteered as a camp nurse for the Edgar Cayce organization, it was natural to use this approach when I was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1974. Curing this disease with all natural holistic interventions, I continued using the approach in my personal life and with clients, and am now considered a pioneer in holistic health. I have worked for the past 5 to 6 months on the website section on prevention of cancer. This finished in a download gift of this material, around 50 pages, available for those who donate $12 or more to the foundation and receive a tax deduction receipt plus this gift. The booklet available as a download, titled Reduce Your Cancer Risk, A Holistic Approach. It will include the following. First, as a longtime educator, I like to start my writing with a theoretical framework in which to place the content. So there is first a theoretical framework based upon public health concepts. This framework will basically look at, first, ways to reduce the risk of known environmental carcinogens, and second, ways to strengthen the host against environmental and other carcinogens. Content on reducing the effect of known environmental carcinogens include electromagnetic waves, toxic chemicals such as BPA, formaldehyde, toxic metals such as aluminum and mercury, and last, ultraviolet waves. For all areas, there will be research related to the carcinogen, what you can do to reduce the risk, and an interview with an expert for many of these. The second part looks at ways to strengthen the host or you against carcinogens. It includes areas such as physical activities, nutrition, including genetically modified organisms, organic foods, etc., fluids, water and milk, supplements, vitamins, minerals, immune builders, sleep, smoking cessation, music, and then it moves into mental, spiritual interventions that includes affirmations, compassion, faith, forgiveness, gratitude, meditation, optimism, prayer, relaxation exercises, serving or helping others, social support, stress reduction, and visualization. Again, for each of these, there is research, what to do to strengthen yourself against cancer, and interviews with experts for many of these. You will hear interviews with 30 cancer or related experts on mental, spiritual interventions, such as forgiveness, gratitude, faith, and compassion. You'll hear about omega-3s, genetically modified organisms, genetically modified food, plant-based and other nutritional diets, smoking cessation, chemical and mental carcinogens, immune builders, music, and much, much more. So I hope this will be helpful to you and will help in preventing cancer in the future. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.